I don't know, it just worked out that my guest, first guest, is one of my favorite people on the planet, Libby York. Hi, Libby.
Hi.
Are you sad? Are you sad being here?
Well, just knowing
you'll get over
moving
it.
Is kind of historic.
It is. You're part of history. You're part of living history. Libby will be performing Tuesday night at the fabulous Winners Jazz Club, which is, you know, a stone's throw from here, doing a new show. A new show, at least for Chicago, Three for the Road, Traveling Light. This is a manifestation of your own love of travel. And all of a sudden you realize, wow, there are a lot of songs about good places, aren't there?
There are. It's funny, when I've had so much fun putting the sets together and the songs, it's one of the things I love about this music. You've never run out of great songs that you've never done yet. So I have everything from Rodgers and Hart, Mountain Greenery, to Corcovado, Antonio Carlos Jobim.
It's an international kind of flavor here,
yes,
too.
Yes, absolutely. Paris Blues is in there, and Rhode Island is famous for you. It's a Dietz and Schwartz song.
You're not doing
it. You know that one?
Yeah, I do.
I am doing it.
The only reason I know it is because I used to hang around with Buddy Charles so much, and Buddy was the living encyclopedia of every single song in the world. You'll be performing with the great Jeremy Kahn on piano and Russ Phillips on trombone, also doing some vocal duets with
you. Yeah. When I was thinking of who do I want, I always want Jeremy with me. And then I've known Russ for a long time, but we'd never really worked together. And he sings, so we can do a couple of vocal duets.
One of the interesting things, just off something you just said about who you wanted with you, you have always been, and one of the reasons I adore you personally and professionally, is that you have always considered yourself not the star, but a part of a band. You are one of the most collaborative performers, certainly one of the most collaborative vocalists I've ever known. How did that come to be, Libby? Was it, you would think it was born of some kind of, you know, horrible insecurity, but it probably isn't that, is it?
I don't think so. I mean, my approach to jazz, you know, it's not nostalgia. It's in the moment. And I'm not a scat singer, but I love to improvise with the phrasing. And so, I think someone early on said, well, you're about as good as the people that you work with. And that made an impression on me.
No, it really, really did. I mean, you are collaborative. Let's go back now. You were born and raised in Rogers Park, and your family's from your parents were sort of from the North Shore a bit. And then you went to school on the South Side. How did that, tell me about the young Libby York way before you came to music.
Oh, boy.
I mean, music was part, your parents were not professional musicians, but the music was a huge part of your young life.
Yeah, they both went to Northwestern, played piano and sang, and so I always grew up hearing Sinatra and Perry Como and Rosie Clooney in the house. So that's, you know, a lot of these lyrics are just in my brain. I just heard them from a very early age.
But you decided you never studied. You studied political science at, you also went to the same school. I'm looking at the
American University.
You went to Sullivan High School, which was my mother's high school, too.
Oh, great.
And then you went to American University and studied political science with the notion of doing what?
Well, you know, that was the question. You know, when I graduated, I thought, now what do I do for a living as a political science major? And I worked on a few campaigns and, you know, still interested in politics, but it didn't do it for me. So.
But you didn't immediately go to music either.
No, I taught in D.C. for a while, and then I started a restaurant.
This is the fact, ladies and gentlemen. Here comes the very, very, very interesting chapter of Libby York's life before she became a noted jazz vocalist.
You know, I think do you remember a restaurant in Evanston, Fanny's?
Oh, sure. Fanny's was famous.
And there was a woman, Fanny, right?
They used to freeze their spaghetti sauce.
Yes. And she was fabulous. And I remember she came to our table, and I remember thinking, oh, this is kind of like showbiz. And I think in my mind, I don't know, things came together so that we started this restaurant, which is now in its 44th year.
The restaurant
I don't own it anymore.
The restaurant is not here.
It's
of all places. Yeah, Delaware.
Which is the summer resort for D.C., so...
What was that like? I mean, now now half the people I know think, oh, I think I want to own a restaurant so I can be on TV or something. It was literally inspired by Fanny, whose name I do not remember from Fanny's restaurant.
Yeah.
I believe it's Lazar, L-A-Z-A-R.
Well, partly that, and partly we were doing our little hippie farm-to-table thing at about the same time that Alice Waters was starting Chez Panisse in Berkeley.
Were you the chef?
I was the salad person, and the front of the house managed the employees person. And there were three partners, and one of our partners was the main chef, and the other partner was my then husband, who was like the business guy. So we had a good division of labor.
Was it, I mean, obviously it's 45 years old. It obviously was successful right off the bat. Is it kind of famous? It must be famous in that area.
It's famous. In fact, we were named, what was it, some of the 50 most influential Delawareans of the past 50 years.
Are you kidding?
For, you know, starting this kind of foodie revolution in Rehoboth Beach. And now there's tons of great restaurants there. And when we started, there was only fries and burgers on the boardwalk, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Was that fun for you or no?
It was great. I love the creative aspect of you create this whole world, you know.
Sure.
But then I did it 5 years, and by then I was already taking the bus to New York, you know, doing singing lessons. I had some gigs already. And
How did the bug get you? What happened there? I mean, the restaurant business is a labor-intensive business.
Yes,
there's no
is.
Question. I don't want to get into what was going on in the relationship with your husband, too. The whole
I'll
idea,
tell you later.
The whole idea of a husband and wife running a restaurant, I can't see it working for
so
long.
So many possibilities there.
But you didn't escape to music. Your kind of passion for it was sparked again, right?
Well, I never had thought about it as a career, but the more I actually started working, I was asked to join a band, and I started working with a guitarist who lived in the village, and I had gigs before I really kind of knew what was going on. And then I thought, okay, this is it. You know, this is what I love to do.
I am talking with Libby York, who will be performing at Winter's Jazz Club this Tuesday night. Do me a favor, folks, and you'll find out about Winter's Jazz Club if you go to Libby, LibbyYork.com. That will enable you to get a full blast of Libby York, including a wonderful recent interview by Mike Jeffers and his terrific publication. Stay tuned. I am going to allow you, just because this is the last show from the Tower, to hear Libby York sing. So please stay tuned.
The boat ride we would take, that moonlight on the lake, the way we danced and hummed our favorite song. The things we did last summer, I'll remember all winter long. The midway and the fun, that Cupid doll you won. The bell you rang to prove that you were strong. The things we did last summer, I'll remember all winter long. The early morning hike, the rented tandem bike, the lunches that we packed. We never could explain that sudden summer rain, the looks we got when we got back. All the leaves began to fade, like promises we made.
That is the amazing Libby York. Libby, you're such a great singer, and that it always amazes me in part that you are not totally self-taught, but you learned to sing. A great deal of your learning was in front of audiences.
Yeah.
And certainly you had some experience dealing with human beings when you ran a restaurant, but that's got to give you I don't know whether it gives you an edge or what did that do for you?
gosh.
It certainly put a lot of pressure on you.
Yeah, plenty of times you just wish, you know, in the beginning, I mean, I guess it has pluses and minuses, because when I was coming up, there weren't many jazz programs in the colleges, you know. And a lot of people learned on the bandstand. But, yeah, there were plenty of times you just wish the stage would open up and swallow you. And nobody would, you know, you feel like, okay, I messed up. But it's a great way to learn. You learn quickly, you know.
No kidding. How have you grown as a singer? I know this is an impossible and psychologically fraught question. But growth as a singer, it comes with age. It comes with experience. It comes with familiarity with various tunes. I'm pretty sure you have never sung the same song twice alike.
No, that's the goal anyway. In a jazz approach, you know, you don't ever do it the same way twice, which keeps it fresh and keeps it fun. I find instead of trying to add stuff now, I'm trying to take stuff out.
Interesting.
Like keep it as simple as possible. Be as present in the moment with the lyric and the music as you possibly can be. And try not to get nerved out about the audience watching you, you know.
Do you still get nerved out? That's a great phrase. Oh, I love that phrase. Do you still do that?
You know, I'm finally at a point where I kind of love the audience, and hopefully they'll love me back. But I remember for a long time, I wished the audience would kind of just disappear so I could play my music. And, you know, it was scary, you know. But I've come to understand, I mean, that's a vital part of what you do. And
you have played.
A wonderful part.
You have played all over the place. You have never, to my mind, played enough in Chicago. You'll be Tuesday night at Winners Jazz Club. With a show called Three for the Road, Traveling Light with Jeremy Kahn on piano, Russell Phillips on trombone and vocals. Compare for me. Compare. You have a place in Key West. I don't know how much performing you do in that.
Quite a bit, actually, yeah.
And what's that jazz scene like down there? I bet it's good.
You know, it's just a small little island. It's a 2x4 island there's a handful of really good players. And I love playing there. The audience is there. But I also like to keep my hand in New York and, you know, keep the city thing happening.
Talk to me for a second about the differences between clubs in not so much Key West, but New York and Chicago. Because I've seen the evolution and de-evolution of Chicago jazz clubs over the last 40 years, and it's been sort of painful.
Well, it's amazing that Scott at Winters has created this new club. I mean, I told him you've accomplished the nearly impossible.
Agreed.
To open a jazz club. And seems like they're doing fine. I love working there. You know, good sound, good stage, good lights. It's quiet. It's a listening room.
When you've also got the ageless Joe Siegel still running the Jazz Showcase.
Well, that's great.
Which is one of the great miracles of our time.
That's right. It is a miracle. And I'll be back there in September on the 26th to celebrate my birthday. It's become something of a tradition to do a birthday bash at the Showcase. So that'll be September 26th.
You seem to, and you're going to stay on for a little while longer, but you seem to still get get more joy than ever out of doing what you do, even given that it is a difficult, and sometimes, you know, the recording business is in the toilet, and fewer and fewer clubs are out there, but the joy is a more, I think, personal thing for you, isn't it?
Yeah, joy is a good word. I do find joy from it. I just love the music, and I love working with the great musicians, and I think it's true that I'm kind of digging it more than ever the older I get, rather than the other way around. So,
why do you think that is? I'm not your psychiatrist or psychologist, but what do you think that is?
I think, especially since I didn't start singing till I was 35, it took me a while to really believe that this is who I am and this is what I do, you know. But if I'm finally kind of getting the message that, you know, this is what brings me joy. And so it's a beautiful thing to have something you feel that way about.
Yeah, to have it. Well, and it also, you realize that you do have a gift, right? You do. You must realize.
I know I was given a voice.
Don't be so self-effacing.
No, I know
okay.
I was given a. It's a, it is a gift. It's a, you're given a voice, and then what you choose to do with it is, you know, important.
Well, when you give, there's a joy that returns. I'm talking to Libby York. We got to get some commercials, and we're going to get some news, and then we're going to come back and talk a little bit more specifically about the Three for the Road traveling light show Tuesday night. Two sets with Jeremy Kahn on piano and Russ Phillips on trombone and vocal at Winners Jazz Club. But do me a favor, go to Libby York, LibbyYork.com, because that way you can buy her CDs, that old-fashioned. It's like saying 78s. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I feel like I'm
CD.
Saying 78s.
You can do a digital download there, too.
Yeah, you can do that, too. But I buy the CDs. Buy the CDs. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back to After Hours with me, Rick Kogan. Libby York is the stuff that matters as far as I'm concerned. She will be appearing Tuesday night, singing her heart out for two shows at Winters Jazz Club. If you have not been there, it's just a stone's throw from Tribune Tower that I will never be in after tonight. Isn't that great?
Who knew?
I need to know a better class of people than like millionaires who will buy condos in this building. She'll be performing with Jeremy Kahn on piano, Russ Phillips on trombone, and vocal duet. As we started the show, Libby, and go to LibbyYork.com for all sorts of information and CDs. You theme your shows, and this one is a theme that is very dear to your heart, traveling, the world. It's the world.
It's the world, I know, and there's just so many great songs that kind of fit into this
Were there too many? It must have been hard. Yeah, I bet it was hard to call this down.
It was. I've got several that I've never done before. There's a great Dave Frischberg song called Do You Miss New York, which I love. Never done. It's been in my book for years. And, Gypsy in My Soul, you know?
No,
I am fancy free and love to wander, it's just the gypsy
in my
soul. You're
not doing Chicago, that toddling town.
And I am doing Chicago.
Are you really?
Of course.
It's worth it for that, ladies and gentlemen.
Have to do Chicago.
It's worth it for that. Libby has chosen for her, for you to hear as she leaves and goes back to her place in Chicago. She also has a place in Key West, and she will be at Tuesday night at Winners Jazz Club. It is always great to see you. I will see you in September again, and you can come to the new studio.
Yeah.
She has chosen from one of her albums this song as a kind of homage to the Tribune Tower. She says goodbye forever to the Tribune Tower unless we both get to know some millionaires. Thanks, Libby.
Thank you, Rick.
For the memory of rainy afternoons, swingy Harlem tunes, motor trips and burning lips, and burning toast and prunes. How lovely it was. Thanks for the memory of candlelight and wine, castles on the Rhine, the Parthenon, and moments on the Hudson River line. How lovely it was. Many's the time that we feasted, and many's the time that we fasted. Oh well, it was swell while it lasted.